The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
We started this series last week called Paper Planes, Paper Cuts, and Candy. And you guys are like, probably those three things have nothing to do with each other. Those three things are so silly, that's so ridiculous, it's so foolish, and you're probably absolutely right. But we're going to continue this week with this series on paper planes, paper cuts, and candy. And we've only got one more week, so if you're hating this and you're like, this is the worst thing ever, you've got one more week, and then you can come back to church and not hate church. Or if you're loving this, then you've got one more week to invite your friends. But what we talked about is how this is all about perspective, right? Last week we made paper planes, and all of you guys told me that you were going to throw your paper planes at me at some point in time. I was just waiting for the first person to throw it, because I know once one person threw them, they all were going to start throwing them after that. But we talked about how these paper planes are, they're our hopes, our dreams, our plans, right? We have these things, and we put so much work and dedication and effort and energy into this, because this is everything. But then what happens is, as we let go of it and we watch it and we launch it into life, we realize that really it's just a small paper plane. It really doesn't mean that much. And a lot of times our plans, our wishes, our ambitions, those things that we hold so strongly and dearly to, are really small and minuscule in the grand scheme of what God is doing in all of creation. And today we're going to continue with the idea of paper cuts. How many of y'all have ever gotten a paper cut? Yeah. Paper cuts. Are they fun? No. And I did, listen, this sounds silly. I did research on paper cuts. I don't know if you guys are like bored, but like sometimes I get bored and I do research on random things. I did research on paper cuts, and they told me the reason paper cuts hurt as bad as they do is two reasons. One, they're on an area of your skin that is used largely, right? And I mean, like you get a paper cut and all of a sudden you squeeze that lemon in your sweet tea at lunch today. What happens? Whoo, some of y'all want to say some words that you're not supposed to say in church, right? Because you use it and you don't even think about it. Or you go to like text, and you text now with your thumb. Anybody still text with their finger? Huh? Yeah. That's a good one to look at. They text or type in a number, and all of a sudden you hit that paper cut, and you're like, oh, man, that hurts so bad. The first reason they say that paper cuts hurt so bad is because they're on surfaces of our skin that we use on a regular basis. The second reason they say paper cuts hurt so bad is because they're from an unlikely source. Right? I mean, who thinks that a piece of paper is going to hurt you? Like, anybody ever, like, been cutting in the kitchen and, like, they ran over their finger with a knife and it didn't cut them? And you, like, look down and you're like, all right, I ran over my foot with a lawnmower one time. Like, you guys are like, how do you run over your foot with a lawnmower? Long story, don't ask. It was really bad maneuvering on my part, I guess. But, like, I remember, like, getting up and, like, hopping into the house, like, my foot's gone. Like, it's, nothing's there. It's just from, like, probably my like, hip down is gone. I got in the house, and I didn't have a cut on me. Like, I didn't have any, nothing. Like, I think I, like, twisted my ankle. Luckily, my blades weren't sharp in my mower. That's all that saved me. But, like, it was the idea that, like, I was amazed that I just stuck my foot under a lawnmower and had no cuts on my leg. Like, that shocked me. But then all of a sudden, like, I'll pick up a piece of paper and an envelope and I'll go to seal it and, like, it'll slice my finger. I'm like, how does that happen? I mean, like, I can stick my foot under a lawnmower and not get it cut, but I can't seal an envelope or I can't pass out a piece of paper without it getting cut. Paper cuts hurt because they're on surfaces of our skin that we use regularly and because they come from an unlikely source. I think today, paper cuts for you and I look a lot of times like different things. They look like hurts in our life. That's the first thing we're going to look at, is paper cuts are hurts. How many of you guys have ever been hurt by somebody in life? Yeah. All of us, right? And it's so funny because they hurt because it's an area of our life that's exposed, that we let people see we're vulnerable in. And when we get vulnerable and we let this part of our life out and somebody hurts us and it cuts us and it hurts deep and it hurts bad. And it comes from an unlikely source. Now listen, I'm not trying to minimize your hurts. I'm not trying to say that your hurts aren't important. But what I would challenge you with is this. Compared to a broken arm, paper cut doesn't seem that bad, does it? Compared to like an amputated leg or like losing your arm, a paper cut really, it can't compare. Some of you have had like some serious injuries over your life. And I love hearing stories of injuries. I know that seems kind of weird, but like, I just like hearing about things that people have survived. I'm like, you made it through that? My dad always jokes around. If you ever meet my dad, he has like short fingers on one hand. And he always tells people that like, he was like throwing a grenade back in a war or something like that. He wasn't old enough to serve in any war. So like, I don't know. But like he stuck his hands under a gravestone and tried to catch a gravestone when it fell one time. And that's how he got his fingers like cut right there. I love hearing those kinds of stories. And I've always like thought about the idea that like compared to a gravestone, tombstone falling on your fingers and smashing them, a paper cut really, it doesn't seem that bad. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal. I think a lot of times what happens to us in life is when it comes to things like our hurts, we focus on the pain and it causes us to lose our perspective of how bad the wound really is. You know what I mean by that? Like sometimes like, you know, you get this cut, somebody hurts you and all of a sudden because of this pain, you lose perspective on all that's going on around you and everything that God is doing in the world and all that you can focus on is the pain of this small little paper cut. This wound that someone inflicted on you, this comment that somebody made about you and you've let this thing cut and that becomes your focus instead of everything else that God's doing around you. There's some scriptures that kind of came to my mind as I was thinking through this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says this, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you've had to suffer all kinds of trials." Romans 8:18, "Consider that the present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." 2 Corinthians 4:17, "These little troubles are getting us ready for eternal glory that will make all your troubles seem like nothing." See, just like in life, when those paper cuts come, they change how we do everything. You ever gotten a paper cut and went to shake somebody's hand? You shake it differently, don't you? Like, and you like, they pull back and you're like, what? I got a cut here. It's like, okay, I'm sorry. You know, like, does that really bother you that bad? But it's something subconsciously that everything in our life changes. The way we do everything is now in light of this cut. And I say paper cuts. It could be that you were working a manlier thing, like you were working on an engine and you busted your knuckles or something like that. I don't know, but it changes how we do things. It changes how we live our life based on this small little cut. And the same thing is true with us when it comes to like our spiritual life. We change how we do things. We change how we interact with people. We change what we allow God to do in our lives based on these small cuts, don't we? Well, listen, I'd love to do this at church, but you don't understand. One time somebody said this about me there and I can't go back. I can't do that. I would love to share with somebody what God's done in my life, but one time I started to share with somebody and they made fun of me. I can't go back to that. I would love to preach, or I would love to tell somebody the gospel. I would love to share my salvation experience with somebody, but there was one time I did it and the person didn't accept Christ. And because of that, there's been this pain inside of me that I just can't let go of. Here you go. I'd love to share with somebody what God's doing in my life, but one time I prayed that God would do something and he didn't do it. And so what happens if I start to share with this person how God can do something in their life and then he doesn't do it? The pain that I feel, I don't want them to feel, and so I just don't share with anybody. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 says this: "You tried to harm me, but God made it turn out the best so that he could save his people as he is now doing." The idea is this. Sometimes these paper cuts, they come in our life, and what we do is we hold on to our paper cuts. We let it affect how we do things, and we let it change how we do things instead of realizing what it is. It's a paper cut. You still have a mission. You still, if you go to work, somebody comes into work tomorrow, Michael, and they say, "Hey, listen, boss, I'd love to do some work today, but I got a paper cut yesterday. Can't go dig pools today because I've got a paper cut." What would you do if your employee came to you and said, "Hey, listen, I can't work today. See this? I nicked it on the church bulletin yesterday. It's pretty serious. I'm going to keep it bandaged for a little while and elevated, because that's what you're supposed to do, is elevate a wound. So I'm just going to walk around like this all day." We would think that person was ridiculous. But that's how so many of us go through life. "I got this wound back in whenever. This person said this back in whatever. God didn't do what I wanted him to back in whatever. And so I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to hold it up here so that everyone can see it. And it's going to affect how I do the rest of my life. But I have a reason, because of look what happened to me back when." And while those wounds are serious, and I'm not trying to make light of them, I need you to understand that really you're taking what God could be using for his glory, for his good, and turning it into a detrimental thing in your life. Now, all that to say that paper cuts are they're serious, or well, they're not serious, but they could become serious. Anybody know when paper cuts become dangerous? No, you said something, just answer. Anybody? When they get infected. That's from a nurse too, so y'all know I'm not lying. It's when they get infected. Paper cuts become dangerous when they get infected. Now, what does that mean? Well, it looks like two things for this when it comes to this idea of hurt. We let this idea of bitterness come in. We let this thing called resentment come in. And all of a sudden, what is just this small cut, instead of dealing with it, instead of addressing it, instead of taking it and saying, "You know what? This cut hurt, but I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to wound it. I'm going to put medicine on it. I'm going to talk about it with the person. I'm going to go and I'm going to resolve it with the person." I let bitterness and I let resentment come in. And all of a sudden, what is just this small little cut now has festered into an infected wound. And did you know this? Now, infections can turn toxic. Toxic can cause massive, rapid organ failure. It is possible to die from a paper cut. Some of us have let that happen in our life, haven't we? We've let that wound fester. And all of a sudden, it's not just a wound, but it's become infected. And now it's become toxic. And it's shutting down parts of our organs, parts of our heart, parts of our life that God is desperately trying to use. But because of this cut, because of the bitterness, because of the resentment, because of all those things that we feel because of this cut, we've shut down parts of our life that God is trying to use. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26 and 27 say this: "In your anger, do not sin, and don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." Paul continues in chapter 4 and verses 31 and 32, and he says this: "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be compassionate and kind toward one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you." There's a passage in Hebrews that's going to come on the screens. It says this: "Make every effort to live at peace with everyone, to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace, and that no bitter roots grow up, causing trouble to defile many." He continues in verse 16, it's not on the screens, but I want you just to hear what he says: "See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted his inheritance and his blessing back, even though he sought it with bitter tears, he could not change what had been done." See, paper cuts, hurts in our life become dangerous when we let them become toxic. We let them become infected. We let bitterness take root, and all of a sudden we've become bitter towards the person, the party that's offended us. This person, we see them differently. We don't want God's best for their life. We hold this grudge against them because of what they did. But what the next step from that is this, is not only does bitterness creep out and we become bitter towards each other, we actually become bitter towards God. God, how could you let this happen? And listen, I'm not trying to make light again of your hurts. Your hurts are serious and they affect you deeply. I understand that. But my question for you is this. Are you letting bitterness take root? Are you doing everything you can to clean that paper cut, to wash it, to work it out, to resolve it with the person, to resolve it with God, to not let bitterness and resentment creep in and become toxic in your life? Or are you holding onto that paper cut and saying, well, the reason I can't do things is because of this cut that I got? There's one other way that I think paper cuts work out. And for time's sake, we're going to kind of go through this quickly. I think paper cuts can be sins in our life. You know what I mean? Are there good sins and bad sins? No, that's not a good question. Are there big sins and little sins? There's not. But don't we? Come on, we value sins differently. We do. Listen, I would so much rather you tell me that I look silly this morning than come punch me in the face. I really would. Listen, you can tell me that I look silly. That's great. I don't want you to hurt me. I'd rather you tell me that, hey, listen, you know what? Your shoes are awful. I'm like, okay. Then for you to steal money from my bank account. I'd rather you make fun of me than take my wife from me. See, but we value sins differently, and it's like, well, we can tell little lies, and that's not as bad as committing adultery. We can tell this little white lie, and that's not as bad as stealing. We can tell this little lie, and it's different because it hits differently, and so we rank and we order our sins based on us. That's dangerous. Because, see, what we see is this little sin. It really doesn't affect much. We're losing perspective of what Scripture says. And for time's sake, again, they're going to come up on the screen, but I just wanted to read these to you. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned and has fallen short of the glorious standard set by God. James 2, 10 through 11, the person who keeps the whole law except one is guilty as a person who's broken all of God's law. The same one who said you must not commit adultery also said you must not commit murder. If someone is found to have committed adultery, you've still broken the law. The idea that what James is getting at in that passage and what Scripture gets at time and time again is, listen, there is no rank for sin. That small cut, that small sin that you allow in your life, that you continue to allow to sit in your life, is just as dangerous as the big sins that you never think you'd commit. That thing you watch on the computer is just as dangerous as committing adultery one day. And you don't see it as that. You say, well, no. This is just a small, harmless vice, Pastor. This is just something that I do in my own time that it helps me relax. It's the same thing as what you're leading to over here. That attitude that you have towards that person, you say, well, Jesus tells me I have to love everyone. I don't have to like everybody. So, not on you. That's the same bitterness. That's the same anger. That's the same rage that's going to play out over here in some different way. See, what happens is we justify and we excuse these small sins. And we look at other people's life and we say, hey, my sin, not even close to compared to that guy's sin. What that guy does, he's a bad guy. I'm a good guy. This is just a paper cut. He's got a gaping wound over there. What's dangerous about that is what will happen is you will let that become infected. And it's going to start to spread, and it's going to start to work itself out into other areas of our life. And all of a sudden, this small sin, which is a cut in the armor of God, a spiritual armor that you put on when you allow this sin in your life, you've allowed this blemish, this defect to come in, and it opens the door for other things to take root and become a staple in your life. Real quick, just indulge me for a second. Think about the worst sin that you, again, I know there are no bad sins, but think about the worst sin that you've ever committed. Did you ever think you'd do it? Did you like plan out and be like, I'm going to do this sin? Or did it kind of creep up? And all of a sudden you found yourself there and you did it and you're like, where did this come from? Started with a little paper cut. Started with this little part of your life that you never thought would be as big of a deal as it was. And then all of a sudden it manifests itself in this massive way. The Matthew 7 passage talks about the speck in your brother's eye instead of looking at the log that's in your own. And the Mark passage, Mark 7, 21 through 23, talks about how everything that we want to know about somebody is exposed by their heart and what comes out of their life. See, what happens is we allow these small little injuries to happen inside, these sins to take deep root in our heart, in our life, and we don't think they ever work their way out, but what those passages say is that they work themselves out into your life. That small paper cut of a sin works itself out. The James passage there is one of my favorite verses. It says, to the one who knows what's right and does not do it, to him it is sin. So what's that mean? Well, that means there's this other type of sin where you know exactly what God wants you to do, but you refuse to do it. You know you're supposed to do this. You know you're supposed to do that. I know I'm supposed to tell this person. I know I'm supposed to explain this. I know I'm supposed to do this, but I just don't really want to do it. That passage in James says that that's sin, just like adultery, just like murder, just like lying, just like stealing. You're committing sin by not doing what God is calling you to do. Now, there's paper cuts. What a great service. Thank you so much for being here, Pastor. You should have stayed home today. Maybe I should have. But there's this other passage that kind of leads us to today, because we're also doing Lord's Supper today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 and 29 say this, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat it and drink it without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. So today, here's how we're going to do things. We're going to have an invitation in a moment. Some of you have some paper cuts in your life. Some of it is anger, it's bitterness, it's resentment towards other people because of hurts that have happened, because of things that have happened to you in life, and they're justifiable and they're real, and I'm not trying to downplay your hurt. But you've held on to it for too long. You have let it become bitter. You've let it become resentful. What this tells me is that if we have in this passage in Corinthians, I didn't list the whole thing here, but if you've got an issue with somebody, you're supposed to take care of it before you do this. Jesus says if you are in the middle of giving your offering and you remember a trespass or a sin or something that you have against your brother, you're supposed to leave your offering where it is and go take care of that and then come back and do your offering. Some of you have eaten this Lord's Supper time and time again with bitterness, with resentment, with anger, with all kinds of issues against people either in this church or outside this church. I don't know. But you've eaten this way too many times with hatred in your heart towards somebody else. You wouldn't call it hatred. You'd just call it a strong dislike. Be careful of that paper cut, because it's going to work its way out in your life some other time. So today, before we do this, I want to challenge you to take care of that. And there's a couple ways you can take care of it. If it's somebody in the room, listen, if I've done something that's hurt you and you want to come tell me, please come tell me. I will do everything I can to make it right. I'm so sorry. If it's somebody else and you want to go talk to that person, you go talk to that person before we take this meal. If it's somebody who goes someplace else, they're at a different church, they're at home today, this is your verbal permission. Take your cell phone out and you send them a text message. Say, hey, listen, I just want you to know, I forgive you. I'm not going to hold this against you anymore. Some of you know that a text message isn't the way to do it. And so this is your challenge during this time of invitation. Either there at your pew where you are, or you come to this altar and you vow and you commit before God, I'm going to take care of this with this person. I'm not going to let the sun go down on my anger towards them anymore. And so when I eat the Lord's Supper today, I'm going to eat it justified, without sin, without anger, without bitterness or resentment towards somebody else. I'm letting go of all that, and I'm going to eat it right. Some of you have some sins in your life. They're small. On the outside, nobody would probably even notice they're there. But you've come to this table time and time again. You've eaten this supper with a small little paper cut of a sin in your life. During this time of invitation, I'm challenging you to examine your hearts, confess that sin, get it right, so that when we come to this table, it's glorifying and honoring to God. Some of you have decisions that you need to make that you've put off for way too long. During this time of invitation, I'm challenging you to examine yourselves, get it right. Whether it's with somebody here or it's between you and God, you take this time and you get it right so that we can eat this meal in a glorifying and honoring way to Him. Father, we thank you for today. God, I thank you for these individuals that are here. God, I thank you for what you do in our lives. Father, that you don't want us to live with anger and bitterness and hurt and resentment. But God, you want us to live lives free of that. So God, my prayer today is simple. You do what only you can do through your people. Father, that if there are issues that we have where we've got hurts and anger and just whatever towards other people, God, I pray that we would make it right before we take this meal. God, if we have sin in our life that we've not confessed, that we've held on to because it's just something small, Lord, I pray that you would help us to confess that and make it right with you before we take this meal. Father, we love you. We ask that you would do what only you can do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.